may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
You may be seated. A theologian named F.W. Borum used to stay in a quaint old cottage in England that was loaned to him by a minister's widow. As a visiting professor at a nearby university, the kind lady had given him her house to save on his expenses. In the morning after the first night, he pulled up the blind to his bedroom, and there on the glass of the window pane had been cut the words, "This is the day." He asked the elderly lady about it. She explained that she had had a lot of trouble in her time and was always afraid every day when she got up of what might happen that day. She'd become so worried about whether she would have what she needed in the days ahead that she would doubt that God would take care. So one day she found reading in the Bible the words of a text, "This is the day," which God used on her life in a profound way. It occurred to her that it meant any day, this day, is God's day. So she asked herself, so why should I be afraid of the days if God makes the days, all of them? I mean, he made them. He'll take care of them. So the widow scratched the words as well as she could in the window pane so that every time she drew her blind in the morning, she was reminded that this is the day. Realizing the Lord made it and he was going to take care of it, she found that she could face her days without fear. The lady learned a profound lesson of a disciple of Jesus Christ. It comes forward to us through the gospel reading from St. Mark today, the feeding of the thousands. Fellow bishop friend of mine calls this the reality of the fishes and the loaves that confronts us every single day. He means by his observation that God has a way of taking us out to the edge of our greatest need, in case you haven't noticed. The Lord, in some mysterious way, takes care of the day. Well, it's the gospel for St. Mark, the 8th chapter. Now, the Markan feeding of the multitudes in our passage is similar to John's, but you know, each gospel focuses on a particular theme of fulfillment regarding prophecies of the Messiah. For John and his feeding of the multitudes, the journey out into the wilderness is part of his new creation theme, that God is making a new creation out of us as he takes us into the land of the desert. And accordingly, John's gospel begins like the book of Genesis. Mark's gospel is different, though. Mark's gospel begins in the desert. And Mark's reference to the feeding of the thousands reminds us of what a dire situation it was. That when God takes his disciples out into the wilderness, he's stretching them to the edge of their greatest need, which is what's involved when we go out as Christ has commanded us to do. But the disciples ask a question in Mark's gospel that's preserved for us by St. Mark. They say, "Where will anyone be able to find enough to satisfy these people with bread enough here in a desolate place?" And so, don't we often ask, "Lord, where are we going to get enough to satisfy where you've taken us?" First and foremost, that which we need every day is the bread of life. Jesus, he is the loaf, the host. We're reminded of that in the Blessed Sacrament today. The manna from heaven, as we see in the Eucharist. St. Cyprian, in his homily on the Lord's Prayer, in explaining what it means to pray for our daily bread, makes this very point. He says, "Because Christ is the bread of those in union with his body, we ask that this bread be given to us daily." according to the great tradition, you're to say the Lord's Prayer three times every day, being reminded that he gives us the daily bread. Our greatest bread we require to live each day is Jesus Christ. Christ, in feeding the multitudes, was declaring that he would provide himself to them if they would offer the loaves of their lives to him. He is our daily bread, but we've got to offer the loaves of our lives to him that he might transform our greatest need into a miracle. The second lesson of the multiplication of the loaves is that he provides for us not only himself, but our needs on a daily basis. St. Cyprian also refers to a repeated story in Scripture of how God performs the miracle of the loaves in the lives of his saints. He says, St. Cyprian, "For since all things are God's, nothing will be wanting to him who possesses God, if God himself be not wanting to him. Thus a meal was divinely provided for Daniel when he was shut up by the king's command in the den of lions. And in the midst of the wild beasts who were hungry, he was fed. Thus Elijah, the prophet of old in his flight, was nourished by ravens," which is a theme of one of our stained glass windows, you may recall. "And oh, the wild beasts spare, the birds feed, while men lay snares and rage." Both instances to which St. Cyprian refers, the saints of God were being trapped by adversaries. So, yes, Cyprian is right. Indeed, nothing will be wanting to him who possesses God if God himself be not wanting to him. One of the wonderful privileges of meeting so many Anglican Christians from the global south, what we used to call the two-thirds world, is hearing some amazing witness of how God provides for them. And we constantly hear as they live from hand to mouth day by day, but their faith is so great, so rich, which is what happens. That's the other side of being stretched to your greatest need and trusting God. Dr. Helen Rosavari, missionary to Zaire, tells of a mother at her mission station who died after giving birth to a premature baby. She says, "We tried to improvise an incubator to keep this infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded, 'Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely.' So that afternoon, a package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened it. Much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, 'Well, if God sent that, I'm sure he also sent a doll.' And sure enough, she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of that child's sincere request because, you see, 5 months earlier, a women's group at a church in the western part of the world had sent just those items to these people in need. God is a God of the loaves and the fishes. But he takes us to the edge of our greatest need, doesn't he? The tension is we want full security, and that's okay. Full security sometimes makes us so comfortable that we just don't have to live by faith. God, however, wants us to learn to trust him. So in his divine providence, he has a way of taking us to the edge of our greatest need, which is what we see captured in the feeding of the thousands in St. Mark's Gospel. It doesn't mean that God will always give us what we want, but in the words of St. Cyprian, however, we can be assured nothing will be wanting to him who possesses God if God himself is not wanting